everyone, and welcome to the very first Rural Perspectives podcast session. I'm Adam Albrecht with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and I'll be your host. We hope you'll continue to join us as we talk to farmers, industry leaders, and policymakers about the world of agriculture. Since this is our first podcast, we thought it would be good to start with a bigger picture topic. We're joined today by a very special guest, Mr. Perry Osnes, who serves as the Executive Director of the Minnesota Agri-Growth Council. Perry, welcome to the program.
Adam, thanks for having me, and I have to say, I feel privileged and honored to be the very first guest on your show, so I'm sure you're going to do great with this going forward.
Well, we sure hope so. For those that are unaware of what the Agri-Growth Council is, could you maybe start off by talking about the history of the council and the role it plays today?
Yeah, great question to start off. Agri-growth has been around in Minnesota almost 50 years. It was formed in 1968. And, you know, I think the best way I can describe our work is primarily to be a advocate for a positive business climate for the agriculture and food sector in the state. So, you know, we feel like it's important to make sure that from a public policy standpoint, primarily at the state level, but to some extent at the federal level, there needs to be a voice on behalf of this big umbrella of what ag and food is in the state to make sure that we've got a climate conducive to growth and opportunity. And so a lot of that work is in the public policy arena. We do a lot of events throughout the year to kind of engage our members, keep them informed. But I think that's really been the history of behind why agri-growth existed. You know, I like to say we both advocate, but we also help promote the sector as well, because as we all know, more and more people are removed from the farm, and we are a voice to make sure they understand how important agriculture is to our economy.
Now, agriculture as a whole is a very large tent. There are many different sectors or commodities within it. What are the benefits of bringing everyone together into one group like agri-growth?
I think the biggest benefit is, you know, we all are, it's a fairly small world of ag, and yet it's very diverse. And I think like any other sector, it's easy at times to get siloed into certain issues, and oftentimes just the ability to understand different perspectives. So if you look at the membership of agri-growth, it ranges from the large Fortune 500 companies that we're blessed to have in Minnesota, you know, the Cargills, the CHSs, the Hormels, Land O'Lakes, et cetera, but also, you know, all the way down to individual farmers, the commodity groups. And so, you know, it's better to have these discussions within the family and hopefully find ways, if there are differences at times, what there can be, to at least have an appreciation for the different perspectives. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we're stronger when we're united and working together. And so I think the value, as I think back to how agri-growth was formed, was to make sure that all sectors of the spectrum of food and ag could be represented in a group like agri-growth to make sure we could be, hopefully at the end of the day, working more closely together rather than in opposite sides.
Now, you mentioned a family. Does having such a diverse group of interest lead to some of those challenges? I mean, are there often times where they find themselves on different issues, or, you know, is that kind of just a minor part of it?
You know, in my time with agri-growth, which has been a little over 4 years, I can't think of many instances where we had members at opposite extremes on issues. But where, again, an organization like agri-growth can be effective is providing different perspectives and contacts in terms of where companies might be, where farm groups might be, and making sure that everybody that works with both sectors or all sectors also has an appreciation for it. So not to say there aren't times when there might be some individual differences of opinion, but again, we try to make sure that we bring those issues into the conversation that can help provide some solutions as opposed to create divides.
Is it sometimes challenging to be such a broad organization? Because it seems like sometimes policy isn't going to fit everybody perfectly, but it needs to be at the same point broad enough to get everybody into it.
Yeah, it can be. I think but I think what we try to do is, even as we engage in our members in identifying issues that require us to engage in public policy, we want to hear from all perspectives. And I think the other thing that's unique about agri-growth is, if you look at our membership, we have membership of farmers and commodity groups. And so I think we play a voice of trying to work within the farm community to the extent we can. On the other hand, we would work a lot with the business community in Minnesota, some of the other business interests, and I think we are able to provide an ag flavor to some of their discussions. So it's kind of an interesting juxtaposition that I think AgriGrowth plays in working with business as well as agriculture. And if you think about our membership, it's kind of a little bit of all that.
Looking at agriculture as a whole, again, as an industry, what would you say are the biggest obstacles today?
I think for agriculture right now, certainly we're in a downturn in the economy, so that certainly has manifested itself in a number of ways. I think we continually get concerned about business climate issues and making sure that policymakers understand that we can't have a regulatory climate here in Minnesota that is going to swing too far to the point where farmers, agribusinesses see that this is not a good place to do business, not a good place to reinvest. And so, you know, sometimes it feels like we're more fighting against ideas than being proactive, but that's, I think, a key part of it. But then I think a challenge for us and an opportunity as well is to be proactive. I like to say we know what we are against, and obviously we do a lot of work on public policy, making sure that taxes and regulation and things like that aren't too burdensome on our sector. But we got to be for some things. And some of that could be manifested in public policy. Some of that is, if you think about, you know, telling our story to consumers is, you know, we've got a great story to tell, but we also need to demonstrate what we're doing. And so kind of right now we're in that interesting camp of we're going to be against some things, but we need to be for some things so that we can be proactive, so that our sector can take credit for the good work we're doing.
That's going to be a good segue into my next question. For those listening out there within the agriculture industry, no matter what they do, is there anything that everybody can do as a whole to help the industry?
Well, I think we all play a different role in telling our story. I think the one thing that we've learned, this issue of consumers today maybe not understanding where their food comes from, how it's produced, is a real challenge. As you know, we've done the surveys to see that, and we all know this, right? Generations are more and more removed from the farm, so they have questions. And I think you know, we've learned, and a lot of our members have learned that, yeah, it's education, but it's really about engaging in a conversation about today's food systems. And I think there's responsibilities at every level, from the farm, from businesses, from associations like AgriGrowth, to use our voices, if you will, to tell that story. I think the other thing, though, as we get into some of the areas in the environment and water quality, I think, you know, story plus data makes a powerful case. So I think part of it is, too, how do we take the work that agriculture, the farmers are doing and adapting new technology and new practices and being able to benchmark some of that that can help support the stories that we all want to tell. And so I think that's an ongoing challenge for all of us, but certainly a space that AgriGrowth wants to operate.
Do you work with any other groups outside of the state of Minnesota at all? Is there a national network that you kind of tap into?
Not specifically like AgriGrowth. So most of our work on national issues are, frankly, working with our congressional delegation directly. But my experience, there's a lot of states that have agribusiness associations, things like that. I think AgriGrowth is somewhat unique in that we're not just agribusiness, and we do want to have that farmer element represented. And even if you look at our board of directors, we've got agribusiness, but also farmers that are serving on our board. So we try to work with our members on federal issues. So we've got members that have government relation teams work on federal issues. We've got Farm Credit Council is a great example, doing some great work right now nationally on infrastructure funding with the new administration. And so we try to provide a voice and involve it at the state level to help support those federal initiatives that I think are important to our members as well.
And just again, we are speaking with Perry Ostis, the Executive Director of the Minnesota AgriGrowth Council. Perry, your group is very active in both the Capitol here in St. Paul, but also some in Washington, D.C. Are there any particular issues that you're working on right now?
I think right now, let's just talk federal for a moment. Obviously, Farm Bill is a big topic of conversation within agriculture. I think the other big thing that we are trying to elevate is the issue of trade, ag trade. And frankly, our concern that with some of the rhetoric that starts questioning trade agreements. And, you know, we know that we're blessed in this part of the world. We can grow things, we can process things, but we have to have access to foreign markets. The growth for food is not going to be necessarily just in the U.S. It's all over the globe. And so as we think about trade agreements and we think about things like NAFTA and TPP, I think we're really trying to elevate the importance of this to members of Congress and the administration, quite honestly, as they travel into Minnesota to say, we can't afford to go backwards, particularly right now with a tough ag economy. We should have the United States government actively working to open markets, reduce barriers, and not pull away at this time. That would be the worst thing to happen. And then other things, I guess, regulatory issues are not just state issues. EPA, Waters of the U.S. Rule, immigration reform is a tough issue right now. And again, I don't see a really path forward at this point, but I think on some of these issues, there's times when you've got to engage and direct lobby. Some of them is just making sure that decision makers understand that these are important issues for agriculture, and we need to have them work with us on solutions.
Now, rural America really, well, they overwhelmingly came out for Donald Trump. They're a big reason why Donald Trump is president today. Has some of his rhetoric been a little concerning to you? And obviously some of these topics on free trade, now that NAFTA is being renegotiated, on immigration, which is very critical to, let's say, the dairy industry and a lot of vegetables more in California. How about the rhetoric coming out of Washington? What is that like?
Yeah. Well, it's. I think it's fair to say it's created anxiousness within agriculture. And let's just talk about trade for a moment in that, NAFTA being an example. Not a perfect agreement, we know that. However, for Minnesota, our ag exports to the NAFTA countries have more than tripled since NAFTA was put into effect in 1994. And knowing how dependent our sector is, it would be devastating to our ag economy if, in fact, we pulled away or we gave them an opportunity to those countries to go elsewhere for importing their food products. So that's a concern. I will say just in the last month, I've had an opportunity to meet with both the new EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, and then the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. And I came away, I think, more optimistic that at least at the Secretary of Agriculture level, he understands how important trade is to agriculture. He understands the workforce challenges that we're facing. He understands the regulatory challenges that farmers have been dealing with or concerned about the last few years with things like WOTUS. And so I'm hopeful still. I think not ready to think that hope is lost. I think he will be a good spokesman for us, and hopefully within the administration with the president himself, he will be able to articulate these issues are important to agriculture. And similarly with the EPA administrator, I found him to be refreshing in his comments when he met with a number of AgriGrowth members earlier this summer, just the fact that it's a new day there. At the end of the day, none of us are against, we understand there needs to be regulations and rules, but they've got to make sense. They've got to be in such a way that aren't duplicative, aren't putting our industry at a disadvantage. And so at that level, I'll just say at the secretary level, I guess I'm hopeful I see some good people that the president is putting in place. Now the question is, how much influence will they have as we get into some of these big issues like trade and things like that going forward?
Is there anything AgriGrowth is pushing for the Farm Bill at all?
I think in general, I'd say we want to make sure that the things that are working right now for agriculture can stay in there. Risk management is huge right now for farmers, and so obviously things like crop insurance are a great tool, and something that with the climate ever changing is something that we think is really important to continue to have in the toolbox. I would say, though, that as it gets into the commodity title and things like that, I think we've got a very strong organizations of commodity groups in Minnesota and farm organizations, and I think they are really the experts in terms of how those programs affect specific commodities. So I think we will defer to them a lot on some of those issues. Things like ag research, though, and some of the other areas I think are important that need to be considered in the Farm Bill, we certainly will advocate for as well.
AgriGrowth helped launch a job exchange. Can you tell us a little bit more about that project?
Yeah, well, it's this issue of ag careers and fact that we've got, as baby boomers are retiring and we've got these needs for agriculture workforce. AgriGrowth is part of an organization in Minnesota called Real Time Talent, which is really a public-private entity that involves business, it involves academia, it involves state government, and it's trying to take a holistic look at, as we see these new job opportunities, these needs that employers have, how do we make sure that the needs that they see to get the work done are understood and worked on in terms of even at the academic level. In other words, making sure students are prepared for these careers. And also just the idea that we do have an image problem at times in agriculture. A lot of folks think, why would I want to work in agriculture? I live in the Twin Cities. I don't know a thing about farming. And as we all know, there are great jobs within agriculture that don't require you to be a farmer or understand how farming works necessarily, but they're great opportunities in science and technology and things like that. So the agricultural job exchange is really an opportunity to say, we know that employers have workforce needs, and we know that there are either students or job seekers that may be interested in careers. How do we connect the two? And so it's a tool, if you will, that we're hoping will help. I guess one version of what this is speed dating for job seekers type of thing, and trying to make sure that when jobs are open that there's a better understanding of what they entail and making sure there's a good fit as a tool to help our members and help agribusinesses be able to track that workforce.
Now, we're here in St. Paul. We're currently in the thick of one of Minnesota's two seasons, which, of course, is construction season, and anybody who's listening can probably hear the construction going on outside. But what are you hearing from businesses and ag outfits in rural Minnesota about trying to attract workers for agriculture?
What I hear a lot of, particularly I'll just say with ag processors, that it's becoming more and more challenging if you're not in a regional center or if you're not in the Twin Cities to attract talent. And it's a lot of levels, right? Some of it can be very technical and scientific. Some want to have the amenities of a metropolitan area, so that's part of the issue. But also just getting, you know, just regular jobs in processing plants, things like that. I'm amazed at a number of communities that have, they're really at full employment. They can't find local workers, which is why when we start talking about immigration reform and how do we make sure that there's a workforce that they can draw on, it's a real challenge right now. So I think it's, I had one company tell me a couple months ago that, they would like to invest in more processing in Minnesota, but for they're concerned about workforce availability. And that's becoming a really key driver in terms of even investment. I think it might accelerate, robotics and that sort of thing in some of these plants, but it's a real issue that I hear consistently across the state. Workforce is a huge issue for ag, and not just ag, but certainly in our world, it's something that we want to keep as a priority that we're trying to find solutions for.
Now, if people and listeners are interested in finding more about the AgriGrowth Council, or maybe even how to join, how can they go about finding you?
Yeah, two ways. I would encourage folks to check out our website, and that's agrigrowth.org, which I think is a good resource for who we are, what we're working on, and things like that. Also, I encourage people to give me a call directly. We office in downtown St. Paul. They can give me a call at 651-905-8900. We like to we hold our hat on representing that broad spectrum of food and ag, and be more than happy to talk to even companies that aren't members or individuals about what AgriGrowth is and how they can be part of helping us help them be successful into the future.
Perry Osnes, the Executive Director of the AgriGrowth Council, thank you very much for joining us and being our very first guest.
Thank you. I look forward to other opportunities if you'll have me back.
That's going to do it for us on this issue of Rural Perspectives Podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To find out more about us, please visit www.agcountry.com.